You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Hello, and welcome to The Tauren and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about the Warcraft story and lore. My name is Katie, and I'm Clanker, Goblin Resto Shaman on Dalaran US.
And my name is Nick, and I'm Gragthar, Tauren Hunter on Skywall US.
And we're doing a really cool podcast today we're doing a back in time sort of podcast. But before we get into that, what have you been up to, Nick? Oh, and we're episode number 43. Sorry.
Yes. What have I been up to? I got into the beta.
Yay.
Super excited about that. But the problem is I don't want to, it's weird that like, I don't want to spoil myself on the beta. So I haven't done like the actual like invasion of Lordaeron scenario. I'm like, I'll just do some other stuff on there. So what I started doing was just rolling the, allied races. And then I had so much fun rolling the allied races. I was like, why am I not playing? Like, I don't want to roll these guys and then level them up and play them on the beta. I'm just going to play them on live. So I finally broke down. I purchased the expansion, and then I spent my time doing the four quest chains to get the allied races unlocked. And then I could not decide between rolling a Void Elf, a Nightborn or a High Mountain Tauren, because I love them all equally. The only one I could decide was like, I'm just going to roll a Lifeforge Paladin, which, that was the one I was like guaranteed not to roll. So I have a Lifeforge Paladin. I haven't actually played him yet, but I've made him. So he's sitting there on the character creation screen. So that's what I did. I was surprised. Was it just me or like the High Mountain storyline was the longest one, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, that one was by far the longest, which I was not happy to go back to Hullin. Like, Hullin High Mountain is a cool character. And I guess this is I'm not going to go far into the spoilers for unlocking High Mountain Tauren, but you do.
I think you can now. It's not really spoilers. I mean, it's been out for a while.
That's true. But yeah, you basically go back in time to Hullin High Mountain, good old Hullin again, and then you unlock or you try and reenact these seals, essentially, for people that haven't done it. And it's a really long quest. Like, the Nightborn one took me, like, maybe 15 minutes, maybe a little longer, and the High Mountain one easily took about an hour, because you had to, with the flying around and stuff, you're like, okay, now we gotta go do another thing. Well, I don't know.
Well, it was annoying because I did the High Mountain one first. So I'm like, oh, well, they're all going to take like an hour.
Oh, no.
So like I sat down one night and I was like, okay, I got like a good hour clear to let me just work on the Nightborn. And then like within that hour, I knocked all the other ones out. I was like, wow, that was surprisingly anticlimactic.
Yeah, I don't know. And I actually like the Nightborn one the best. That one was really, I thought it was really well done. And I really appreciated that one. So
No, they were all, and I get the love for Tepartos now.
I have not done any of the others. I have them unlocked technically, but I haven't done them yet.
So. You should do the Lightforge one is kind of fun.
I've heard good things about both, and I have yet to do them because I don't have enough character slots, but I think I need to delete more characters again. I need to go through another purge.
Yes, fair enough.
I have a lot of problems.
So what have you been up to in game?
So I've been very busy submitting tons of bugs to the beta. I used to be a QA tester for Activision, actually. So when people are like, oh, video game testing, I'm like, I am very familiar with video game testing and I love it. So I've been submitting tons and tons of bugs. I've been breaking the world quite frequently, which is a lot of fun. But I'm kind of at a weird in-between because I'm not going to have a lot of time when this drops in August because I'm actually going back to school. So I'm kind of like, I really don't want to spoil it, but I also want to submit bugs and I want to like see the story before it comes out kind of. So when I don't have a lot of time in August when it drops, I'll actually, kind of know what's going on. So I'm at that rock in a hard spot right now. I'm like, oh, I really want to play the beta and the Zandalari aren't out yet. So I'm like, I want to play the Zandalari druids so badly, but they've got to save some good stuff for launch. So,
that's my one problem because when they announced the High Mountain Tauren and they showed the druid forms for the High Mountain, I was like, yes, I'll roll a High Mountain Druid. And then they announced the Zandalari, and they showed the Zandalari Druid form. I'm like, oh, I'm going to roll a Zandalari Druid. And now I'm like, I don't know which Druid to play. Because, like, I think if I knew specifically what class to make my High Mountain, I'd make my High Mountain that class. But it's like, do I want this to be my Druid? Do I want my Zandal? Oh, that's right. I have a bone to pick about the Zandalari Druids, by the way. I forgot to mention this. And I know, and you should know what's coming.
I think I know what's coming. Twitter. I'm fairly certain I know exactly what's coming.
Yes. So a few episodes ago, I said that the Zandalari Druid form looked like an ankylosaur. And I was told no, because obviously it doesn't have the club tail. I'll agree with you on that front. I was told, no, it's more like a spiky turtle. And then today, Pitopia put up that they're called like ankyloids.
Yeah.
They're actually going to be in-game tameable as a, or I guess the, whatever they look like, just like, you know, the druids look like bears and you can tame a bear, not that you can tame the druid, but there will be like native ankyloids floating around Zandalar somewhere. And yeah, so they're not called spiky turtle family. So, ha.
Okay. All right. Whatever. But yeah, no, I could see where they might be considered ankylosauroids. Because there are ones technically in the ankylosauroid family that don't have club tails, but that's the one that everyone thinks of. So when everyone's like, ankylosaurus, I'm like, yeah, but yes. Also, they've changed the animation so they much more match what an ankylosauroid should run like, which is nice. So for people that haven't actually checked out the beta or aren't up to date on all of the animations, they've actually changed the bear animations. And this is just kind of a cool aside. So right now, as it is, the bears in World of Warcraft don't stand like actual bears. They don't run like real bears. I mean, the animation is cool, don't get me wrong. I love running around with my maw open and pretending to bite people every time I stop. But what they've done is they've changed the bears so the back legs don't bend as much. Because if you look at what a real bear looks like, their legs, their knees don't stick out that way. It's totally wrong and it's kind of edgy. If you study any kind of biology, it's almost offensive. But they've actually changed it so the bears stand more upright like a normal bear should. And they've done wonders with the animation. And they didn't really have to change the skeleton or anything. So it's just a little like slice of life detail they did, but it actually will affect a lot of the old bear models too. And some of the old bear models are getting an up-res. So the actual bear model, like in some of the mounts, looks like the newer mounts or like the newer bear models. So that's a nice change as well. And I'm very excited for the bears to run like real bears and also look more like real bears. So
that's cool.
Yeah. And so that's the cool. Ankylosauroids or whatever they're going to be called. Will actually have that run as well, which is correct. So that's much more exciting. And I think the rat model will actually stand up a little more straight too, which is more correct for rats because they put the bear skeleton in the rat. And at first that looked really wrong. Because rats don't run like that. But
that is weird. That's cool though, that they're able to like reuse those skeletons and it in the way that they reuse them allows them to make such a variety of mounts, even though it's still kind of the same thing, but.
And I never really understood why people get so upset about it, because they can do so many cool things by reskinning skeletons. Like, the skeletons are animated in such a way that it creates such cool possibilities. But I will try not to take up an entire hour talking about just that, because I definitely could.
That'll be next week. Next week will be our all-skeleton episode.
Ooh, yes, all skeletons Halloween. All the time.
That might be fun around Halloween to do, like, a skeleton episode.
Do it. We should.
I'll make a note.
All right. All right.
All right. So anything else you've been doing in game?
I started raiding, actually, which was a lot of fun. So I've been doing a lot. This is kind of on the lower end of exciting, but I got to the first prestige level and I'm almost to prestige 2. So I'm going to get my artifact coloration that I wanted so badly, which just, it happens to be my favorite shaman skin for the restoration is the PvP first, like prestige 2 technically. And I don't like PvPing, but I'm doing it slowly and I'm like, yeah. So I've been, I've had a couple of things like DKs and other things that should kill me and I just sit there and heal through the damage. And that's always a good feeling when you can slash LOL at someone and heal through their damage and just shame them just a little bit, because you can't kill them, but if you can shame them enough they give up, it's a good feeling.
Nice. Well, yep. One thing that I'm excited about is that we got confirmation on this from the Warcraft dev handle on Twitter. But when they merge Prestige, or when they make Prestige account-wide in Battle for Azeroth, they're going to take your each character's Prestige rank and just sum them up.
Yes.
So in my case, I think my Death Knight's Prestige rank 4 or 5 now. My nice. Warlock is Prestige rank 3. I have a few characters that are like maybe Prestige 1 or close to Prestige 1. So when all said and done, my total Prestige rank going into Battle for Azeroth will be like 7 or 8 or something along those lines. And what's awesome about that is that I will then get on every character the PvP appearance. Hmm. So as long as you get to Prestige 2 on one character now, come Battle for Azeroth, you get the PvP or PV artifact appearance on all your characters. So that's... I'm excited about that because I have like, I had like 3 characters I was trying to PvP on all at the same time. And it was just, I was spreading myself too thin and I wasn't focused on that enough. And it was annoying. And I'm not even really that good with some of those characters in PvP. And now it's like, okay, you know what? I really don't have to worry about that. I can focus on other stuff like the Mage Tower or other stuff that's going away.
The Rage Tower.
The Rage Tower. Yes.
I hate that place. But I hear you. I was really excited about that too. And I think it's better. Like I know I don't really think there are that many people that prestige. I could be wrong, but as far as I understand, there's not that many people that prestige all the way up to the max level of prestige. It's certainly possible, but I feel like for a lot of us that are just like generalists, you know, you just want a skin or you just want like one reward. It's nice that it'll accumulate on all tunes because like. It's really difficult to do it on my shaman, right? Like, I'm a great healer, but I go into a battleground and everyone's like, kill the healer. And I'm like, I feel like everyone's looking at you. It's like you walk into a room naked. You're like, oh, hello, everyone. And everyone's like, murder the goblin. I'm like, ah! So, trying to learn to PvP as a healer has been much different than raiding. And it sucks when you can't really defend yourself except to try and heal yourself out of stuns, and that's just not as much fun. I'd much rather be PvPing on my druid, but that's not the skin I want. So I was very happy at the news. I know that they had said that they were going to combine it, but I wanted to make sure it was for the artifact power too, so that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, so well, cool. Like, I'm glad that we both got into the beta. That's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, I need to spend more time in there, but now that I don't have to worry about PvPing so much, I can.
I know. Well, and as you said, the Rage Tower. I need to do the Mage Tower on 2 characters. Those are the only 2 I care about. Ugh. I think I have at least, I don't even know how many tries I have on my healer, but ugh, yeah, it's gross. My healer is sad. But I'm glad AJ in the chat said that he just got his Star Kitty. So congrats, AJ. Oh, wanted to throw it out there. Yeah, that one's I actually got that one on my druid as well. That one wasn't as difficult for some reason, but at least as hard as the healing one, but the NPCs in the healing one are so stupid. They're like normal people, so you'd think I'd be able to figure it out, but no. I just dissed a bunch of raiders, but you're welcome.
So, anything else that you want to talk about, or do you want to get into the topic?
Zul'Zodar looks super awesome. And I don't want to talk about... Like, I really want to talk about Battle for Undercity, but I also really don't want to talk about it. But there was something interesting that I'm going to bring up briefly because it has to do with people in the beta and Undercity. So there's been a lot of contention. I've been watching a lot of people in the forums and on Twitter and just kind of trying to get the general sense of how people feel about the Battle for Undercity, because I did both the Horde and Alliance sides for the opening scenarios for I almost called it Legion, for Battle for Azeroth, and it's not done yet. So one of the most humorous things in the beta right now, for those of you that aren't playing, is that some of the cutscenes either aren't finished or aren't put in yet. So it'll be Thrall attacking Deathwing suddenly, so everyone's like, oh no, it's Battle for Deathwing, but since we don't have the full story yet, there are parts where people are getting really concerned. Like, on the Horde side, people are like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'm nervous. I have my own thoughts about it. Like, I have, I think I actually know what's going to happen because I've been paying attention to the environment as you run through Undercity. And I've noticed a lot of goblins, and they're doing specific things. But we can talk about that either later or in a minute, because I don't want to spoil that for people.
Well, you know, let's table that maybe till next episode. Yes.
But I was,
because this way too, I'll make sure I run through the scenario.
Sure. We'll do that then. But
yes,
this is a non-spoiler thing. So right. This is more general. A lot of people have a lot of feelings about it right now. They're very conflicted about how things are turning out. There's some bits of the story that people have conflicting feelings on. And it was actually interesting because in the latest Q&A, Ian got up and said, okay, I know that there's a lot of feelings. Don't forget the story's not done yet. Like, so what you're seeing now isn't necessarily where the story is going, because a lot of people are like, oh, Sylvanas is going to be Garrosh 2.0, and this is horrible story writing, and it's awful and terrible. And I also want to caution people that listen that remember that the story isn't done. And not only in the beta for what you're seeing, it's not finished, but this is the very beginning of the story. Like, they're trying to pull you in, you know, it's like the cheese and crackers, and the entree is behind you, right? The good stuff is yet to come. And I don't think that they were lazy enough to make Sylvanas Garrosh 2.0. And Ian actually went out of his way to address that, where he's like, this isn't what's going on. So I know a lot of people out there were concerned and were very upset. And I just wanted to touch on that because I thought that was interesting, because I had similar feelings and I feel slightly better after hearing that as well.
You know, I want to say something a little bit, and I want to say this as a Lost fan. I was a very big Lost fan back when that was on back in the day. And in particular, I remember season 3. You know, going on forums and you know, whatever state the internet was back then, mm-hmm. and posting and reading, and people hated Jack. They were like, Jack's terrible. Jack's doing all these things. Why is Jack doing these things? He's so annoying. And I personally didn't mind it. I think I understood where Jack was coming from during that time, but people hated it. And the creators, Lindelof and Cuse, would come out and they'd be like, look, like, Jack's on a specific character arc. Like, his story mm-hmm. is not finished. And the problem is that when you're in the middle of something that's so episodic like that, that you need to go from piece to piece and you have to watch somebody go through this arc that takes time. Like, when you have a concise story that you can see the full arc and you can go through, and you know, maybe somebody's doing something you don't like, but you just plow on through it anyway, and you get to the end of it, and then you're like, okay, now I can look back. And what I worry is that, like, you know, like, they finally, you know, they find, you know, obviously the show ended and Jack's arc resolved, and you can look back and you can kind of trace the path that he went. And the problem, especially in something episodic, is that there are people who will follow that arc and they just won't like where it's going, or they won't like where it is, and they just lose the patience to see where it's going and they just check out. And I'm worried that that's what's happening here, that Blizzard may have a very specific arc in mind for Sylvanas and the Horde going through Battle for Azeroth. And the early chapters in the beta and you know, what we're going to see as far as the early leveling and the initial conflicts with Kul Tiras, they might turn people off to the point that they won't stick around for the finale. They won't wait to see everybody turn that page and move on to the next chapter and where everything winds up. And on the one hand, that's, you know, like, that would be disappointing, because, you know, when you set out to do something like this, and this is almost like, I wonder if this is like the downside to bringing somebody like Christy Golden into the writing team, because, you know, like, if she's used to writing novels where she has, you know, 300 pages to, you know, plot out the arc and the ups and downs, that for something so episodic, it doesn't quite work that way. And I'd almost say bring in somebody like a comic book writer or a TV writer who's used to working in chunks that are doled out. That, and then, I mean, and maybe Christy is, and this could also be that whole perception where, you know, I'm attributing decisions that were made by a writing committee to one person just because she's like the most notable person on that committee. But it's concerning that that the writers have to keep, you know, like the writers that, like, she's been even saying, like, don't believe everything you read in the beta, you know, there's, wait till you see the game come out and you'll see how it all plays out. And even Ian having to come out and make those comments in defense, that, admittedly, I mean, it's weird because this is beta. This hasn't been released yet. It's like, this is basically like, you know, people on a fan site reading spoilers and getting worried And in that case, it is going to be a meta conversation that you need the writers to come out and defend. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. I assume, I mean, it's like a base expectation of Blizzard that they know what they're doing. This will have a satisfying payoff at the end of Battle for Azeroth. But I just hope that it's not so upsetting that it turns people off at the beginning. And then I hope it's not so upsetting that, you know, that's the other worry too, is that as we're going along, if they see people getting turned off by what's going on, then comes the concern, like, do they make rash changes to right the ship? And how does that affect things later on? I mean, it's a little bit concerning in that regard, but we'll see, because everything is still early. We'll have a better idea what's going on come August.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, as someone that loves long stories, like, I as someone that's read of all of Christine Golden's stories, she does a phenomenal job. And you might be onto something where she's used to telling the stories in a longer format. And if you think about Blizzard's storytelling, they do long episodic things, but not typically with characters that are in short term, like in the limelight. Like, think of like bad guys. They do episodic things for bad guys, typically like Deathwing or Arthas. You know, these are characters that have had long stories that we've come to know, but we've also come to find conflict with. Or Illidan, right? Like, in that way, their stories are long. And or even the old gods, right? There is an expected conflict that will happen, and it's episodic in that way, but they've never done it where something as personal as like the Horde's nature, which is what people are finding conflict with, is the supposed nature of the Horde. You know, that's the conflict, because it ingrains what people think about. Like, you know, you identify yourself with Alliance or Horde. Most people do, or both. But, you know, people identify themselves with different parts of the Horde, which is kind of cool. And we could go all into this if we wanted to, but what's interesting is right now there's being a specific side of the Horde that's part of its history is being displayed, and not a lot of people agree with it. And I'm not going to get political about this, but it's interesting that to me that it's in some ways it's a reflection of our political times in some different ways, that people are getting really polarized about different things. I'm like, hold on, guys. Like, first of all, it's a game. Second of all, like, I know how invested you are, because I am is invested as well. And I don't want to see bad things happen to the faction that I care about or the characters that I care about. But it's like, also remember, this is a story. Like, we got to let them tell the story. And if you don't agree with where their story goes in the end, then you can say something. But it's like, people forget a lot of times things about like Sylvanas's character that I thought was interesting. I'm like, she's scared right now. She is scared and she's trying to protect her people, and she is doing everything she can to protect what she thinks of like the most dear thing to her, which is her life and her people. Because she is terrified of dying, and I don't blame her a single bit. But it was funny because I, like, as I played through that, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but as I played through the intro, I also had similar feelings of, like, wow, I feel really conflicted right now. Like, as someone that loves the Horde, I'm like, this doesn't feel very right. And then, of course, having a bunch of people on the Alliance be like, ah, the Horde is stupid and evil. I'm like, that's not helping. Like, don't be that way. But, you know, when you don't have anything to fall back on, you suddenly feel like, ah, I don't want to be the bad guy. I'm tired of the Horde being the bad guy. Because the world is gray. That's what I love about Azeroth. It's a bunch of gray. And I think that's always been something that I've enjoyed. Like, trolls necessarily aren't evil. It's all in perspective. But anyway, I want to throw that out there for people that are on the beta that might be feeling conflicted. So just my two cents. And I'm also glad to hear your thoughts, too.
Well, just remember that we may be the bad guys as the Horde, but at least we have the pretty pale elves. So
we do. We have a lot of, we have pretty pale elves and pretty purple elves now.
Well, no. The Horde has the pretty pale elves. If you want to play, because Ian had the high elf question. He's like, basically, if you want to play a high elf, you have to roll a blood elf and play the Horde.
Well, yeah, for now, unless they get enough pressure to make high elves for the Alliance, which high elves are technically neutral. No,
they're not. They're Varisa. You know, that was the other thing as the lore fan when Ian was like, well, there aren't really a lot of high elves in the lore. And I'm like, Varisa is like standing there.
Yeah, but there's not many left, I think, is what his point were.
Like, yeah, but how many? I think we kind of talked about this before. Like, how many void elves are there?
Yeah,
like, Void Elves are a splinter faction of the Blood Elves, which is all that's left of the High Elves. So to sit there and say, like, oh, there's not enough High Elves to justify that, like, how can you justify then the Void Elves? I mean, it sounds like it's like six or seven people that, like, just quit, you know, quit being Blood Elves and were experimenting with the Void. But there's enough there to justify a whole allied race, but there's not enough for the, like, Blizzard. It's one of those things where Blizzard can do what they want.
That's true.
For Ian to kind of try to play the lore card is like, well, that's why we can't do, like, no, that was weak. That was weak. And ultimately what it comes down to is that they feel that the Blood Elves are your High Elf representation in game. And there's no reason for them to put the High Elves on the Alliance. That said, I fully expect assuming that they keep doing allied races beyond Battle for Azeroth, I would say I would see High Elves coming in like the next expansion. Probably not Battle for Azeroth because they have everything planned out as far as what they're going to do with them. But I feel like there's enough clamor for that. And they'll finally be like, you know what? If you can have pandas on both sides, you can have pretty elves on both sides. And
well, I mean, they already have pretty elves technically now on the Alliance because they have the Void Elves. Like some people said,
but they're emo. Unless they give Void Elves like a High Elf skin where they can be pale and pretty.
That was one of the what someone was thinking is that they'll instead of Void Elves, they'll just make them a branch off of Void Elves. Because really, if you put Void Elves and High Elves together, you probably almost have enough to make an actual allied race, technically lore-wise, because they can't imagine there are that many left. So, unless, like, the other thing too is how many of the High Elves went to be Void Elves. Like, I think the Blood Elves turned into Void Elves, maybe, but I'm not really entirely. I haven't done the story, so I'm not sure how that panned out. I think they must have, because Lorthamar was pissed. So,
yeah, it must have been it's a group of Blood Elves that were playing around with the Void. And Lorthamar was like, you guys get out of here because we don't like the Void. So, either quit playing around the Void or leave. And so he exiled them. And then because you said you did the Nightborn, right?
I did the Nightborn. Yeah.
So you saw that Varisa was there because Lorthamar even mentions briefly like, oh, yeah, we've been having some problems with some Blood Elves messing with the Void. And so Illyria goes back. Well, Illyria basically goes back. And when you talk to her and Anduin, to initiate the quest, she's like, I was recently in Silvermoon and I heard about some Blood Elf rejects that might be fun that might be willing to work with us. And so she goes and checks them out, and that's the whole thing there. So,
I mean, okay, sorry, I don't want to get too far into this, but it's like, all right, on one side, it makes a ton of sense to me, right? Where you're like, dude, you're playing with the Void, like that's a big no-no because look at the old gods, look where it's gotten us. That's no bueno. But at the same time, it's like, if you have Shadow Priests, you're like 1 foot in the door already. So it's like, does it matter? So I don't know.
I feel like that's where you start to run into that whole thing. Like the Shadow Priest lore is kind of weird as it is.
Yeah, and no, like, it is.
It doesn't really jive with the fact that we can like switch specs on a whim.
No. Well, and I don't think you're supposed to be able to. Like,
yeah.
The idea of a Shadow Priest is super cool. I know we kind of touched on this, I think, the last episode. Like, it makes sense that Forsaken can be Shadow Priest. So, like, you should be able to do Shadow or Light, but both is weird. But it's a cool idea, and yeah. I understand. I think we actually went into this last episode, so I won't repeat ourselves. But yes, like, it's strange that you would exile the Void Elves, but not Shadow Priests. But also, I don't know, maybe Lorthamar's like, we got enough crud in our city already. We got demons, we got fell, you name it, it's everywhere. You know how hard it is to make these streets look pretty?
No, it's not that hard. They have the animated brooms and mops and whatnot that do all that for them. They don't even do anything.
Have you ever been on an RP server?
No, I've just been to Silvermoon on a non-RP server where they've got the little animated brooms and stuff floating in the background.
No.
And there's the one side of Silvermoon that nobody goes to, so.
Yeah. Don't accidentally walk into the taverns on an RP server.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's also true. That's also true.
No. Anyway.
Anyway.
No, I agree. It makes sense that they were exiled, so.
All right.
I'll have to play through it. We'll have to talk about that next time, because I'm sure I'll have thoughts.
Fair enough. Yeah, you play through all the allied race intros. I'll play through the Battle for Undercity, and then we'll go from there.
Yes. Sounds like a deal.
All right. Good. Good stuff. So let's get into today's show, as we've already been talking for like a half hour.
Yes. So
this is a very fitting topic, I think. If you're watching the live stream, you'll notice we have an unusual image up there. What happened is, I guess, the Marvel, which I just want to, you know, big shout out for Infinity War.
Yes.
I'm wearing my Marvel shirt.
Nice.
For all this. So, you know, super hyped. Marvel announced that in August there's going to be a new Fantastic Four comic. And this is relevant to Warcraft players because the depiction of Mr. Fantastic on that cover, and I apologize because on the stream it's covered by text, but the depiction of Mr. Fantastic on that cover is the spitting image of Chris Metzen.
Like, seriously, guys, you have to find this cover. I legitimately thought someone photoshopped Chris Metzen's head into this comic, and then I realized that it was not supposed to look like Chris Metzen. Like, it's the spitting image of Chris Metzen. It's kind it's almost a little scary.
And somebody even, like, tweeted it at Metzen, like, dude, like, that's you. Like, you know, he's a little bit aged. He's got the graying hair. He's got the big bushy beard that Metzen had. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is post-retirement Metzen, I should point out.
Yeah, post-retirement Metzen.
Post-retirement Metzen, but pre, like, neck surgery, because he had to shave his beard off for the surgery.
Right,
but,
poor guy.
Right. So this is, you know, if you saw, like, the pictures of him, like, incognito around BlizzCon last year, that's what he looked like. So this showed up on Reddit, and it was like, oh my God, like, Mr. Fantastic looks just like Chris Metzen. And so I got to thinking, because you look at this cover, and so you have Chris Metzen there. You have the Thing standing behind him, and the Thing is missing, like, his unique brow, so his head's kind of rounded, and there's kind of he's got, like, a brownish-green tinge to him from the light. He doesn't, like, look like his normal, like, tannish color. And I'm like, well, he kind of looks like an orc a little bit. And then you have, you know, the Fantastic, the Invisible Woman there, who, you know, this young little blonde girl. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of Jaina-esque, and then you've got
the
Human
Jaina.
Torch burning up behind him, and I'm like, well, that's you know, maybe not quite Ragnaros, but that's some elemental there. And I'm like, and just based off this image, I'm like, what would have happened if, like, you know, Metzen goes in for his neck surgery, and they you know, they drug him up and he passes out, and then the next thing he knows, he wakes up in Azeroth in the middle of the Third War.
Honestly, I could write a book about it. I'd hire Christine Golden to write a book about it, because it'd be awesome.
So
Metzen goes to Warcraft land.
Exactly. So, like, this may be a little bit fan fiction-y. It's maybe something like the Wizard of Oz in that regard. But we thought, what would happen if we put Chris Metzen, with all his knowledge as, you know, one of the progenitors of this universe, in the Third War? How does this affect things?
Well, and it depend where he is in the Third War as well. Like,
right.
So
here's where I'm thinking is that he wakes up and he's laying on a bale of hay in, like, some barn somewhere in, was it the Eastwald, I think was what they called it before it was the Eastern Plaguelands.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't be with the orcs then if he was.
No, I'm thinking he'd wake up somewhere in Lordaeron, and he'd find himself with Jaina and Arthas, who are on their way to
Stratholme.
On their way to Stratholme to clear out the plague.
You know, I could see him just looking at Arthas, looking at Jaina, kind of looking around. Well, he'd be looking around for Jaina's mentor's name? The old no,
he wasn't
there. Yeah, sorry, not him.
He's off in Dalaran.
Yeah, so sorry. You're saying I meant Uther. Sorry.
Uther. Oh. Uther would have been with them. Uther was with them at that point.
Although Uther met up with them when they got to Stratholme. So did Jaina.
I thought he was with them along the way.
I thought it was when they actually got there. I could be wrong.
See, this is why I wanted to do this, because this is, like, the ultimate test of, like, well, how well did we do paying attention to Chronicle 3 that we can go back and actually talk about the events of Chronicle 3 and extrapolate from them.
I feel like Metzen would kind of look at the three of them and be like, the first thing you'd probably be like, Prince Arthas? And he'd be like, yes, Denizen. He's like, have you ingested any grain? He's like, no, I'm allergic to grain. And bread. And anything that has grain in it. Even beer. Never have eaten any grain or anything, because, you know. I feel great. I feel wonderful. Don't feel sick. I'm just going to go in the opposite direction. Because, I mean, I feel like if I got transported back there, you know, Arthas is standing here with this giant hammer. You're like, no, I feel great. I haven't eaten any bread or grain. I'm actually vegetarian. I only eat carrots.
Well, that's the thing, though, is we know that the plague showed no symptoms until you got sick.
Right.
So you could be infected, but you still were asymptomatic until you started demonstrating that you were sick.
But at that point, Arthas had figured out that the grain was causing the plague. Like, that, they knew that, and that's why they went to Strathom, because they had to cull the population of Strathom because it was already infected because of the grain. So if Metzen knew where he was at, he would say, no, I haven't ingested any grain. Because then, you know, the first thing Arthas would be like, if you ate grain, you're going to change. Like, you know, that would be the first thing you'd have to head off. Is like, no, I don't eat grain. Just whatever Metzen would say, I would feel like one of the first things he'd have to address is say, I haven't eaten any grain, so I'm not a threat to you. Because he would know that Arthas is starting to do the spindle thing, where his mind is starting to unravel in its first most beginning stages, I would think. And of course, now what would Metzen do? Would Metzen want to travel with them? Would he want to put himself in danger into Strathom? Would he want to watch the culling of Strathom? Would he go with Jaina? I think he might actually go with Jaina, because that would be interesting, instead of going in with Arthas while Arthas murders everyone, right? So,
I would think there's no value in actually going to Strathholm. I mean, why would you
get to go to Dalaran if he went with Jaina?
Exactly. No, you would have to figure that he knows that Dalaran is the center of all magical activity there. And so, as far as that goes, like, that's how he's going to get home, is go talk to the mages and tell them, like, you know, he needs to get a portal open.
Yes, I would agree. Like, but okay, I'm not going to lie. If I got ported magically into World of Warcraft, I might not be wanting to come home for a while. So, like, dude, this is a fantastic world. I could poke a troll in real life and it may or may not eat me, but it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool until it tries to eat you, and then you realize, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot, like, here's the thing. Like, I, you know, as a big fan of the Tauren, you know, there's a part of me like, oh, it'd be so cool to go hang out at Thunder Bluff. But it's like, at the same time, Thunder Bluff is probably a terrible place for a human, because it probably stinks. It's like a giant, you know, it's like a giant cow pasture, like, you know, 400 feet up in the air or whatever. Well, it's,
yeah, it probably would. Like, a lot of these places would probably smell really bad. Like, trolls are known for their body odor. They would reek, but I would love to, like, hang out with them for 30 seconds and be like, wow, you smell. Or goblins, they'd be like, hey, yeah. It'd be like, hey, I don't have any money. They're like, okay, we can't be friends. I'd be like, but can we not be friends? They're like, I just said we can't be friends. Shove off. And it'd be like, can I stand in your vicinity? You'd be like, go away. So, annoy a goblin to death. That would be the first thing I would probably do. But yes, so let's get back to Metzen here for a moment, because as much as I would love to stay in Azeroth, presumably he has a family, he probably wanted to get home. So I would guess he'd probably go with Jaina, because first of all, she's smart. And if he's like, hey, Jaina, I'm not from Lordaeron. You wouldn't want to say, how can I get home? Because she'd be like, well, where are you from? And you're like, out of world. Don't know how I got here.
Well, yeah, but if he knows if he knows everywhere in the game, like, you know, he could say he's from, you know, he could pick somewhere to be from that, you know, he could be from, you know, you figure like Darrow, like Care Darrow, like Darrowshire events haven't happened yet. So he could be like, oh yeah, I'm from there, or I'm from, you know, he could say he's from Stormwind, or, you know, any, you know, heck, actually, he could say he's from Gilneas. Because if you think about it, no, like, everybody in Gilneas is off. You don't have to worry about running into people from Gilneas, because they're all behind the wall.
That's true. I don't know. Because I almost wonder if he would know how to talk to them and say things that were convincing enough to get them to listen to him, his story, if you would, because he knows these characters more intricately than we do in some aspects, because they're his pseudo-lore children, right?
Yes.
So, like, would he be able to convince Jaina that he needs her help to get home, but not necessarily somewhere she knows.
Well, and he could, I think he could easily do that because he can play the I know what's going to happen before it happens card.
That's true.
And so in that respect, maybe he can't do like any kind of cantrips or like, you know, like anything like that. But he can be like, look, I'm some kind of mage because clearly I have foresight.
Yes, that, I am a mage of foresight.
Yes. You know, some kind of prophet. I need to go to Dalaran. And in that regard, I think he could convince Jaina to leave Arthas, assuming he meets up with them before they actually get to Strathholm, that he could convince Jaina to leave Arthas. And the only question I have is, does he try to warn Arthas what he's walking into?
I was going to ask that too. Like, so the interesting thing about Metzen, if Metzen had this power, would he change his own narrative? Like, would he allow Arthas to fall to darkness? Like, if he was stuck in this world, would he change things? Would he say, Jaina, you must convince Arthas not to go to Strathholm. It will be the end of him in the rise of the Lich King. Like, I mean, and the other thing, too, is if Arthas doesn't go and kill, well, he doesn't kill, sorry. If he doesn't become the Lich King, does Illidan become the Lich King? Or does Illidan destroy Ner'zhul? Like, does Illidan become the next one? Like, does Ner'zhul pick up on Illidan and give Illidan Frostmourne? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways this could go. Sorry, I'm reading some of the stuff in the chat. he can ambush Medivh and wear his clothes and give Arthas and Jaina a more persistent warning. That's true. He could. That is AJ. he could play the Medivh card, although he could meet Medivh and Medivh would be like, they probably look just about the same at this point.
But I feel like if he met Medivh, he would wind up having to work with him because at this point, Medivh's like the only other one who knows what's going on there.
That's true. And that would be interesting if he met up with Medivh because Medivh is the guardian that's supposed to know everything.
Right. And Medivh also has power insofar as if you're looking for somebody who can help get you home. I mean, Medivh opened the dark portal.
Right.
Maybe Medivh can open some other portal to Earth. Although then you run the risk. Then you run the risk. Okay, so Metzen wants to get home. If he opens a portal to Earth, do we now want our world linked up with Azeroth? Because Azeroth is full of trouble.
I hate to say this, but I would say definitely not. Because, I mean, think about all the things that have happened to, especially worlds that get linked together. Like, we saw what happened with Outland and our world, Azeroth. Well, I shouldn't say our world. Sorry, Azeroth. Like, look at Hellfire Peninsula. And that was mostly because Outland was dying. But, I mean, I can't imagine. Actually, even if you look at the portal in Stormwind that goes to the Evergrowth, I want to say, in Draenor. Like, all the wild stuff that came through. All the invasive plants. And then Genosaur, I think they were called, that even came through in the dungeon. And Stormwind hasn't recovered from that as far as we can tell. So it's these big, crazy vines from another world, like wrapping themselves around the top of the mountain. So linking,
I wouldn't read too much into that given how long it took them to fix the park.
Yes, no, and that's potentially true as well. But don't forget that when you open the portal, the more than just like there's potentially more than just a brief link. And if it was just him walking through and the portal closes, that's one thing. But if there's an extended period of time where it's open, things can cross through and like the realities of both worlds may not be the same, right? So we have a technology driven world, but our world, the realities of that we hold true in our world may not hold up in this other world as well. So that may cause all kinds of weird stuff near the portal. And basically anytime anything's been linked together, it hasn't turned out very well. So I'm a big, I don't know, a big fan of like, let's not link things together because it messes things up on both sides.
So basically he decides to stay on Azeroth then. So he figure he still goes to Dalaran because that's until at least he knows until. Well, no, actually, at that point, I think if you're in the middle of the Third War, you go to Stormwind, don't you? I mean, that's the safest place.
Yeah, because they're rebuilding in Stormwind.
Yeah.
Unless you just have to I think the
watch
riots
out for the Defias.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about. Yeah, the riots happened around then, I think. Where Tiffin dies, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that before? Or I feel like that's after the Third War, though. It's slightly after.
But you have to watch out
for
the
very least, you don't want to be in Lordaeron when Arthas comes back.
Ooh, no. But that's that's part of the question, is like, do you want to have Jaina open a portal and send you over to Theramore or somewhere like that, so then you can link up with Thrall? Because, I mean, let's be real, Thrall is kind of his baby. Like, if any character was Chris Metzen's baby, I would feel like it'd have to be Thrall.
Well, I feel like that would be the amusing moment, is when he does finally meet Thrall, and then, like, somebody points out, you guys sound exactly the same.
Right? I was just thinking that. He's like, hail. Hail. It's like, just like that moment where they kind of look at each other like, why do you sound exactly like me? It's like, that'd be so unnerving in so many levels. You'd be like, why do we have the same voice? Like, it's exactly the same. But anyway, or that would probably also happen with Ragnaros to some extent. If Ragnaros come bursting out of the ground, he's like, he's like, hey, you sound a lot like this random guy. And you'd be like, no, I don't.
There's still a little more processing on Ragnaros than there is on, on Thrall. Thrall is Metzen
Thrall. Yes. And also AJ in the chat was like, oh, they'll finish each other's sentences. I'm like, that would be hilarious. For Doom Hammer.
Yeah.
Stop it. It might be a knee-jerk reaction. I feel like if Metzen was stomping around with Thrall, he's like, I don't know. For Doom Hammer. He's like, hey man, that's like my catchphrase. Don't do that. I don't know. But go ahead.
So at this point then, so Metzen tries to get, you know, goes with Jaina, I guess, heads towards Dalaran, and then ultimately decides it's time to go to the Eastern, or go to Kalimdor. And you get over to Kalimdor and be there and try to get her and Thrall on the same page much sooner.
I think maybe, because this is me being selfish, potentially, but if I was Metzen, I feel like one of the points, and this is just maybe kind of how I feel, but I feel like one of the points he would probably love to witness is the building of Orgrimmar, where, you know, Thrall leads his people. It's the very poetic story. But to get there first, he would have to have them defeat Archimonde and the, you know, not the Will of Eternity. Help.
The
Third War,
the
attack on Nordrassil. That's what I was. Yeah, Hyjal. Thank you. I was like, I was trying to remember what the world tree was and all the wisps, and I could see the whole. But anyway, so it would be interesting because he would potentially meet up with Medivh, because Medivh has been coming to Thrall in visions and telling him to lead his people. And Thrall's met up with, I think Thrall met up with either Senjin or Vol'jin at that point, but the Tauren are unbanned, I think. I'm trying to remember how he met up with all of them. It's been a while since I played Warcraft 3, and I should remember because I read the book, but it would be interesting. Like, it depends on when he meets Jaina and when he goes to Dalaran, and then if he convinces her to go to somewhere like Theramore, because then hypothetically he could get there easier. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I would want to see the founding of Orgrimmar. That would be cool.
Well, again, the problem there, and I'm not sure, I mean, it's one of those things, like, obviously it's the world of Warcraft, and it's like, how close do you want to get to any of the conflicts? Because along with the founding of Orgrimmar goes the fight at Theramore.
Well, and don't forget, there was fighting in Orgrimmar in the mines and stuff. There were Trogs that were coming up and killing the workers. And I believe Rexxar was one of the ones that actually put a lot of the Trogs in their place. He went in and cleaned out a lot of the Trogs that were coming up through the tunnels the goblins were digging. So.
Because that's the thing, is like, how involved do you want to get? Because again, he's in this world, his only real like superpower is foreknowledge. And the more he changes, the less he knows about what's going to happen.
That's true. But that's part of it, is that, again, how much does he want to change it? How much does he want the story? I mean, and this is me just thinking out loud, as someone that's ever written a story, you come up with at least 4 or 5 different endings, and half of them don't work out, but some of them you're like, oh man, if I had gone this direction, I could have done this really cool thing. And so this would potentially give him that opportunity to weave the story and see if it would turn out that way, which would be a cool thing.
But it's one thing though, when you're like thinking out a plot, but it's another thing if you actually find yourself in that situation. And now he may, I guess part of it is as far as how he actually deals with this, because I mean, he may just rationalize this is all a complete dream. You know, I'm under for my neck medication. None of this is happening. And once you rationalize it that way, you lose any fear of, you know, like self-preservation. You're like, oh, like if, you know, anything happens, I'll just wake up.
Right.
As opposed to if he actually believes like he's in mortal danger. I mean, yeah, as cool as it would be to check out like, hey, like I want to see what an orc looks like, you know,
it'd be kind of terrifying
towering over him. It's kind of like the difference between, you know, like looking at maybe like a rhinoceros in the zoo versus like walking up to a rhinoceros in the wild. Like, yeah, when you're is in the zoo, there's like a paddock usually, and you know, you got a good distance between them and some cage. I mean, even maybe one of those, you know, car safaris, like where you don't, as long as you don't roll down your window, you're okay. But, you know, like, he's got to be careful because, you know, the horde or any of the creatures associated with the horde, you know, they could mess him up. I mean, even the Alliance side, like we were saying earlier about, you know, Arthas being suspicious of him having, you know, eaten tainted grain. Arthas could mess him up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure what his proficiency with a sword is, but you know, he might have to do some training while he's there. And actually, you know, I mean, on the other hand, as somebody who loves paladins, I mean, if he finds himself in a world where, you know, people can actually wield the light and he of all people would understand the light, maybe he can find a way that he actually becomes a paladin through all of this.
That's true. I mean, that's, I think what he said on Twitter is that like, that is his original character besides an orc shaman or something like that, where he was a paladin. He's like, I was a paladin first. I will always be a human paladin. Cause he loves the story of the human paladins. And I mean, that would be an interesting thought as well. You know, in our world, we don't have magic, at least not as in the same way that Warcraft does, if you believe in magic. Or like the light, we don't have powers that are similar to those. At least I would say so. So if you suddenly are transported somewhere that has magic, would he have an affinity for one? Like maybe he would have an affinity for the light because you're right. He has studied the light intricately. He knows it. I mean, I'm fairly certain he just about created it. I don't know by himself, but I know he did a lot of work on some of the earlier, the orders and that sort of stuff. Like he was some of the one that talked about, or he created some of the lore for the order halls, like the Silver Hand and that kind of stuff. And Lordaeron and the Knights of Lordaeron and that kind of stuff as well. So, I mean, maybe he would be a paladin or at very least a priest of some kind, and able to wield the light. And that'd be really cool actually to like, just kind of appear and be like, hey, like I can heal myself or whatever. And I mean,
If the light works on faith, that's, and he knows the origin of the light, presumably, or at least, you know, he's fairly, you know, as far as how much they've decided what the origin of the light is.
Yes.
That if he, you know, can kind of be like, you know, Elune, give me power, you know, to just directly kind of command Elune, and presumably Elune, as powerful as she is, would know, oh, hey, this is like the creator, like, you know, made me, or at least be aware that this guy's special. Mm-hmm, but there's a difference between knowledge and faith, because that's knowledge true. Is, you know, like it's a fact, you know, this it's like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. And under no circumstances is that ever wrong. And faith is just something that you believe in. Mm-hmm. But part of faith is knowing that, well, I can't 100% prove it. That extra little part there, that's faith. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I can prove so far, but then I have to take, you know, make this kind of logical jump, and that's faith. And so to that degree, he would have knowledge of the light, but it's not really faith, if that makes, I mean, I'm being very semantical here, but I'm wondering, like, would the light look down upon him and be like, you don't actually believe, you know, which is different. And therefore, you're not, you know, you're not of this world, and so we will not grant you power. On the other hand, though, part of me is like, no, because I think the light would recognize who he is and immediately just bestow upon him some sort of affinity. So I could see I could see something happening where maybe Arthas would come at him, be like, hey, you know, like you know, I don't trust that you haven't eaten the grain. And then the light would do something to be like, no, this person's protected. Like the light would shine down upon him. And then at that point, maybe he's not a traditional paladin and able to wield it in the sense that we know. He's certainly not swinging around a giant two-handed mace.
He might yet, though. It's World of Warcraft.
He'd probably build up to that because I'm sure he'd have the motivation in that world to start, you know, a strength training program. But like I could see like that the light would be an ally to him, knowing that, especially because he's, you know, I mean, as somebody who came up with this world and he's, you know, he's written bad characters, but he's also, you know, he venerates the heroes, mm-hmm. that I feel like the light would recognize this man is like the ultimate hero. He is as much as like Arthas may have come out of him or Garrosh, like Thrall and, you know, like and Jaina and all the good characters came out of him as well, that I think the light would recognize like this is a person of virtue and, you know, we will bestow upon him these powers. And so I could see maybe not initially, you know, like once he figures it out, you know, if he has to figure it out. I mean, at some point then I could see him being like almost like a super paladin. Like and you figure too, he would know, you know, he probably wouldn't know exactly when, like, you know, which powers the paladins had at a given time. But I think he'd be able to wield the light in ways. I almost see him kind of like, you know, and I'm thinking this just because I saw Infinity War the other day, but I'm thinking of him like a Doctor Strange of the light. That's where he would just be not quite a, you know, not wielding it like directly like a paladin, but just almost like some just super paladin priest version. Well, and I think the light would probably shepherd him along early on as far as protecting him. And so anybody that he encountered, the light would be his shield to make sure that he goes along and does what he needs to do. Because you have to presume on some level he doesn't wind up there unless there's some purpose for him to be there.
So there is one other thing. All right. So it depends on how we put Mr. Metzen, Papa Metzen, into the story, right? Because there are two things. If he gets put into the story, just like he's teleported to Azeroth, right? But one of my favorite ways to think about Azeroth is that it exists somewhere. And what was it? I'm trying to remember. Some TV show brought this up. Supernatural. So, right, there's this Harold in Supernatural that writes stories about Sam and Dean, the two main characters, and he writes tales. They're a best-selling book series that he writes that are all of Sam and Dean's adventures, but they actually happen. And so one of those things is I look at that as a universe, right? Where it's like World of Warcraft exists in its own separate universe, but we're just getting like the ideas for it and we're creating a game out of it. However, it's actually happening in a real universe in real time and we have no influence over it. So if Mr. Metzen was teleported to that version, he wouldn't necessarily be the creator in that sense, right? Like the light might not bestow upon him this great favor because he didn't create the world as he thinks of it. It's actually a real world. And I know I'm getting a little technical here, but I just wanted to, I thought it would be an interesting thought exercise because in that way, he might not be a holy paladin, but the light may still see him as a worthy person that understands events that have yet to happen that maybe he didn't have direct influence over, but he wants to help, right? He wants to help these characters, and by that way, the light would grant him a boon of some kind, right? Like, Arthas is about to strike him with the hammer, and he glows, and he's like, ooh, the light's like, don't touch this guy, he's awesome.
See, I think, though, like, okay, that's an interesting way to look at sort of the metaphysics of him being there. And so I think what would have to happen on some level is either is that maybe he realizes, because I would think if going into this, if he's in this world, he's like, I created this and therefore I'm sort of like the master of this world. But as he goes along, if he finds out like, no, this world existed on its own before him and all these, like he just happened to sort of like be reading this world without realizing that it's not that he was so much creating it, it's just sort of channeling what already existed in this place. I would have to think that like someone would have been feeding him this information, like maybe like a Naru, maybe a Loon somehow was channeling this information. Like, how is he able to know and understand and then therefore write this world and share this world with everybody else at Blizzard who also co-wrote this?
Yes.
But So I think at some point that might be the interesting thing along his journey is that he finds out that like Ilune or Medivh or somebody of some power was funneling this to him with the intent of him coming because he's important in how events play out, at least with respect to the Third War. Mm-hmm. And then, presumably beyond that.
It would also be interesting if there were details that weren't the same. So, and this is, again, like, this is getting into the metaphysics a little bit, but if he arrived there, right, and he's like, oh, this is the world that I wrote. I know all of the characters. I know everything they've done. And then he arrives there and he's like, wait, like, why isn't Arthas at Stratham? And they're like, oh, no, like, you know, he hasn't gone there yet. Or, like, not even the major details, but, like, smaller details are out of place and they're not succinct with the game, right? So he's like, wait, but there are smaller details, and as you go further and further and further, they get more and more out of sync, like, with what we've done, but, like, the basic arch is similar enough that, I don't know. But it's a fun thought process, if nothing else.
Yeah. So I think we're getting more into the
metaphysical lore of
like how medicine would change things. So we've actually hit about an hour here. So let's start to wrap this up then. So
I guess I was going to actually throw it out there to our listeners. If any of you have thoughts about what you think medicine would do if he got back into Warcraft 3, or actually it would be interesting if there is a time period you think he would be, you know, thrown in, that would be the most interesting, like, if he got thrown in right as Thrall was charging up the giant disc to hurl at Deathwing, sorry, the Dragon Soul, like, what if Metzen arrived when we were attacking Theramore? Like, if you think there's an interesting time, what do you think Metzen would do? And please feel free to write in and share your thoughts, because I would love to hear what other people think Metzen would do if he went back in this crazy trip.
Well, I think the most interesting time would be you put him in the battle for Azeroth, because he's no longer working on the game. He got to enjoy Legion as somebody who didn't help create it, and so he got to play it just as a straight game, but he's already played Legion, so he has some idea what would happen. So you put him in battle for Azeroth and now he's like, now there's a tree's gonna burn and Undercity's gonna fall. And again, I feel like the safest place is like you don't even want to get to Stormwind, because I feel like the safest place actually of all places would be the inn in Elwynn Forest.
Oh, Coldshire.
Because as long as you figure it's not actually that way in the game, that's just on the RP realms.
I don't know. It might be. I mean, Coldshire has a reputation. So that's true, though. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, the first thing I did on RP Realm was go to Coldshire and see if it was as bad as everyone said. So if I got teleported to Stormwind, probably the first thing I would do would be to hold up that tradition and just go to Coldshire. So, maybe there's some Horde guys that hang out in Coldshire. It might be a place that people hang out.
I guess the nice thing about Coldshire, if it is as it is that it should be fairly easy to make money there. And then once you have some gold, then you can do some stuff in the game. The other option for getting gold is to go out and start killing creatures. But,
well, he might be really good at that with all the Murlocs. He might know a thing or two about Murlocs.
Well, again, I think it depends what powers he has. I'm assuming like a depowered, 40 some odd old guy. you probably he can swing a stick maybe, but not much beyond that.
And that's true, but I mean, just saying, like, I don't, and this is a very tiny aside, but I don't know if any of you ever checked out the really cool VR thing, the flyover Stormwind thing that they did for the movie promos, but they had this really legendary release, this really cool VR, like, it was an experience that you could download on your phone. And what was cool is it would make you look like you're on the back of a griffin, and it would just take you over a very brief tour of Stormwind. It was gorgeous. I loved it. So if I was Metzen, that would probably be one of the first things I would do. Besides going to Coldshire, maybe making a little bit of coin, but then buying my own griffin and then trying to figure out how to fly the darn thing. But checking out the world that I had spent so much of my life in would be really cool. And then maybe meeting Green Jesus. I don't know. He's around. He has a kid. They have a lot to talk about. Yeah. They would get along.
Exactly. But yeah, so that, yeah, I think that's a good place to wrap it up then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like we should revisit this every so often and be like, what happened if Metzen was here? What happened if Metzen was here? So maybe this is something we'll come back to if we're struggling for a topic on a given week. I don't know. Let us know.
What if Metzen went to Suramar, the place we never talked about?
Exactly, exactly. Well, no, but I'm just curious. Like, let us know how you thought about this, because this was a bit of an unusual episode in that regard. This wasn't a straight lore episode. So I'm curious, you know, let us know if you guys liked it or not, because, I mean, if you liked it, we'll do more of these. If you didn't, then we... You know, we'll pretend this episode never happened.
So. Just like Metzen going to World of Warcraft. It never happened.
Exactly. Exactly. This was all just some bizarre fever dream.
You never listened to this hour of your life.
Yeah. We'll delete all record of this. But this, so if this still exists, this was the Torn and the Goblin number 43. Email us at torngoblin@mashthosebuttons.com. As I said, let us know what you thought. You can check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on iTunes and Apple Podcasts on iOS devices, Overcast for iOS, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Player.fm, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, Podbean, and by RSS feed. Links are available for each platform right on the Mash Those Buttons website. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. Katie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at HyruleMaster77, and you can also find me on Three Goblins in a Trench Coat, which is the general Blizzard podcast that I do with two other people, Cavo and Gooch. And you can find them at Three Goblins on Twitter. So feel free to check us out there and on most other podcasting platforms. Excuse me.
And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me on WoW Talk and also on the MashCast right here on mashthosebuttons.com. We are at Torin Goblin on Twitter, also at MTB Site on Twitter. You can reach us at facebook.com/mashthosebuttons and also youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. Join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord. It's discord.me/mashthosebuttons. And you can go to mashthosebuttons.com/schedule for all our scheduling details. Our next episode is scheduled to record live on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons on May 16th at 10:30 p.m. But you check Twitter for any updates. Sometimes we do have to move the episodes because life...
Yes.
Yes. So thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing this. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. AJ was very, very informative with his knowledge of Warcraft 3 in there. So AJ, thank you for being there. Also Retro Raven and also Electrical Calling Board and Electrical Skateboard who are in the chat room there. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. Thank you for listening. For Katie, I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you.
Time is money, friends.